Thank you for the day. We're thankful for the time we've had in your word, time to share with one another. We pray your continued blessing in this time, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so, you know, we are doing this series on things above. We're pivoting off of Colossians 3:1 and 3:2. And we're told in Colossians 3:1, as Paul addresses these believers, and he tells them, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so, and this is since these believers are co-raised with Christ. And, you know, being co-raised with Christ, we can trace that back to being baptized into Christ, being united with Christ, and that's something that's imputed to us. And so there's things that relate to our being in Christ and one with Christ, and we're to keep seeking those things in Scripture. And then in Colossians 3:2, Paul says, set your frame of mind, and I'm just going to translate affection in the King James as your frame of mind. Just keep setting your frame of mind on the things above. These things above that relate to the believer being in Christ and one with Christ. And setting, you know, keep setting your frame of mind. You know, and the idea of setting your frame of mind on things above, that describes, I've been using the word alignment. Alignment. I like that word because, you know, when we align our thinking with God's thinking, that's a good thing. And, you know, setting our frame of mind on these things above, it, I believe it's describing an alignment of our thinking with how God sees things related to our union with Christ, our position in Christ, our oneness with Christ. You know, because there's a lot of things that go on in life, in the world, that can draw our attention, our focus. And so we need to keep realigning our frame of mind with what God tells us in His Word about how He sees us, how He and what's being imputed to us, what His program is for us. Because when we look in the Word of God, God has a program, and we're a part of the program. And we want to get with the program. And we're going to have to use our mind to get with the program. Now, last week, we wanted to just cover some things going back and just looking at the word chosen, elect. And so the grace believer is said to be chosen. And this chosen by God the Father, this goes back to eternity past. When God the Father chose us before the foundation of the universe in Christ. And so, you know, we can see in Scripture that the Father has chosen us, and His choice, it's for a unique place in His program, His plan. And His choice of some is out from a fallen human race. And this choice is to salvation. It's to salvation. And we can see this simply over in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, let's just go ahead and turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And Paul just says, but we are bound to give thanks always to the God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has from a beginning chosen you to salvation God has chosen, for himself, you to salvation. And we see this is by, not through, but by sanctification from the Spirit in belief of the truth. Now we see in the next verse, the believer is said to be called, to be called. And this is, I kind of debated whether I wanted to take a message to on this concept of being called. And I decided to go ahead and do this to pivot off of this idea. Last week it was chosen. This week it's called. Because I think it's important for us to recognize if we're going to get with the program and we're going to align our thinking with God's thinking, these two basic concepts are pretty foundational to understand. Now, of course, when we believe the gospel for initial salvation, we don't recognize that we were chosen. It's not until we've been called to our salvation and then we start to relate to the word of God, we're probably going to recognize, and as we align our thinking with God's thinking, that we were chosen, that we're chosen ones. And then, this same thing holds true for kind of this concept of being called. And so we want to take a look at this concept today, because call can have, in different contexts, it can have different meanings, like a lot of words, right? The word to be called, though, it doesn't carry just the idea of to invite. I could use an illustration. So when we look at this, this is more of an effectual call. This isn't just an invite when we're called to our salvation. The call to salvation can be traced back to God's choice in eternity past. And it's playing out in time. So it's not just an invite. It's not just an invite. I can try and illustrate this, as a kid. We used to play a lot outside. We didn't have computers when I was a kid. As kids, we wanted to be outside all the time. And so, we always had to be called in to do chores or to do this or that. And, sometimes the parents come outside and they call. They call you. And I could tell, basically what kind of call it was by the tone of the voice and the name that they chose. And so if my mom came out and she yelled, "Chris," maybe this is an invite. Maybe she's made something, and depending on what it is, I might want to go in. But if it was past dinner time and my dad came out and said, "Christopher," that wasn't an invite. That was an effectual call. That was a summons. And so, that's kind of what I want to do is illustrating this is I want you to think about this when you were called to your salvation, that's traced back to God's choice of you in eternity past. And it was an effectual call. It was a summons and you responded, and Pascal last week in his message, he talked about even the faith is given to us to respond to that call. And so this is kind of what we want to take a look at today. And so in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it says, "Whereunto he called you through our gospel." King James says by our gospel, but it's through our gospel. This call is to salvation through our gospel, Paul says here. Now, we're going to see also that this being called through our gospel, Paul says, this is to salvation. It includes something. There's a content involved here in this salvation. He says, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. we're summoned to this. And we can see a number of things as we go forward. And so I think this is just helpful. It's foundational as we relate to this, because, you know, when we talk about keep setting our frame of mind on the things above, we're describing an alignment of our thinking with how God sees things. And so we might as well just go right back from the beginning that we're chosen and we're called, we're summoned. We're summoned to this. We're summoned to God's plan and purpose, to his program. And aligning our thinking is part of getting with the program. And I can illustrate this. I mean, you can see the importance of this mental alignment of getting with God's program when we go back to Romans 6:11. Because you can see here in Romans 6:11 that this mental alignment of the believer to reckon what God reckons is important for allowing the Holy Spirit to free us from serving the sin nature. It's very specific. So let's just go back to Romans 6:11. And so I'm just dropping in here. I'm not, you know, he's been talking about our position in Christ, and we've been baptized into his death, and as Christ was raised up out from the dead through the glory of the Father, we even so should walk in newness of life, you know, resurrection life. And so in Romans 6:11, we kind of have a summary statement, and you don't see it in the English, but it's, you've got a mendet clause in the Greek. So there's two sides to this, on the one hand and on the other hand. So he says, likewise, impute, the idea of reckon here is to impute. On the one hand, impute yourselves also to be dead indeed unto the sin nature. God the Father counts it to be so. He imputes it. So you as a believer can do the same. And so that's a mental alignment. That's a mental alignment that takes place, to impute and reckon yourselves to be dead unto the sin nature. But on the other hand, alive unto God, and it's not through Jesus Christ, but it's in. This is talking about a mental alignment then of counting yourself alive unto God by counting your position to be so, counting, aligning with what God tells us about our position in Christ. And so on the one hand, you're reckoning yourself dead unto the sin nature, but on the other hand, alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this is part of what do we want to say? Getting with the program in present tense salvation. Now it's interesting when you think about it. All individuals that are chosen, and so the choice is out from, some are chosen out from a fallen human race. But all of those that have been chosen are going to get with the program at some point in time. But what we want is we want to present each one mature in Christ. Why wait? God tells us a lot about his program. And we can get with the program, you know, because God, we looked at this last week. God has given us, he's granted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me just show you that. Last week we went here And I'll just hit a couple of the highlights because we could get bogged down going to 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to skim down through a few things. In verse 3, we're reminded that as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have it all. And we can live out the Christian life. We all have that potential. And then we can see as we, if we went and worked down through this context in verses 4 through 8, we can see that the believer, by putting into practice the Christian life, he can become anchored in his experience and knowledge of God's choice and calling. And we came here in this context looking at this idea of being chosen. But calling and chosen kind of go together. The calling relates to the believer being called to what God has chosen us to in eternity past. And so it's actually the playing out of God's choice in time. And so if, you know, we can read verses 1, 4 through 8, and you can see, you know, the believer can be directing. You've got a number aspects of the fruit from the Spirit in the context. You got faith, self-control, agape, love. You have godliness mentioned. And so then as we move to verse 9, and I guess it would help if I was in 2 Peter and not first. But in verse 9, it says, but he that is lacking these things is blind and cannot see far off, and he has forgotten that he was purged, or he's forgotten his cleansing from his old sins. And then, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence in verse 10. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. And so this is, and we talked about this last week, the idea of sure here. It has the idea of steadfast, certain, firm, confirmed. This isn't for God's sake. This is for yours. As you put the Christian life into practice and you experience these things in your Christian life, you know, the fact that God has chosen you in eternity past doesn't change whether you're doing this or not. But when you do this, it makes the fact that you are chosen and you are called certain for you. It affects your assurance. In other words, you can know without a doubt if you're able to put the Christian life into practice and do these things, experience these things. And so he says, you know, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. It's interesting, the order, because from God's perspective, you know, everything was taken place in eternity past, but we experience it in time, and we're not going to know of our being chosen or elect until after we've been called. And so anyway, you don't know you're chosen until you've been called, till you've been summoned. And so that's dealing with assurance. And so the believer is called or summoned to a place of salvation in God's plan and purpose. And so the calling to salvation, of course, it happens at a point in time in the life of the believer. And this summons occurs through the gospel to salvation. And it can be traced back to God's choice in eternity past. And so calling relates to, if you will, calling relates to a carrying out in time of what God had determined for those chosen in eternity past. And we can see that the things he's chosen us for, it's a unique content of salvation that's involved in our being summoned or called. And so we're called through, if you will, the summons is to a divine appointment where we are given the gospel and the Holy Spirit gives us the faith. And at that point, we arrive at the moment we're born again and we're placed as sons. And we can trace that all the way back to eternity past when God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the universe. At that time, he marked off the boundaries beforehand of the sun placement. That sun placement happens in the mind of God. The moment we're baptized into Christ, we're placed as sons. Now, I wanted to just briefly, I want to talk about the word, the Greek word, and the root behind calling. Because the verb kaleo is the Greek verb, and it occurs 146 times in the New Testament, but it has different uses. And so I just want to illustrate that really quick in a couple places, and then I'm going to focus more on the ones dealing with our being called. And so, kaleo, one of the ways we can see it used in the New Testament is to have a name or to be called, you know, to be called. Let me just illustrate this over in Luke in chapter 1. In Luke 1:61, and this is, I mean, I could expand the context and we could see this used a number of times in this context, but I just want to illustrate it. Let's see. I'll just pick up in Luke 1. So this is in reference to John the Baptizer. I'll pick up in verse 60. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And so here you see the call. It can be used, you know, to have a name, to be called something. Kind of a similar idea. It can be used to designate, to call. I'll just use Luke 6:46 for this, to illustrate this. And so in Luke 6:46, and this is the Lord, and he's speaking about the good tree and the corrupt tree, knowing a tree by its fruit. And so I just want to drop into verse 46, though, for our illustration, because he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord?" And so here the call, it's, why are you designating me Lord, Lord? And do not the things which I say. You see, that wouldn't be congruent. He's emphasizing here something. If you're saying Lord, Lord, and you don't do what he says, that's not congruent. If you're designating him Lord, you know, to be congruent, you would do what he says, right? And so anyway, you see it here when he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord?" Kind of the idea to designate. It can be used, kaleo can also be used of just an invitation, a call, you know, to invite. Let's just go over to Matthew 22 and we'll pick up in verse 3. And this is the parable of the wedding feast, and this is dealing with the kingdom of the heavens, and I'm not going to expand the context. I just want to illustrate how the word is used here, kaleo. And so we do have this word used twice in this verse. And so you're probably not going to recognize that from the King James, the English. And sent forth his servants. Okay, let me just, I'll pick them in verse 2. The kingdom of the heavens is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Just the festivities, the feast, the wedding feast. And they would not come. And so here we see in the English, the King James, you can see the first translation, call. And he sent forth his servants to call them. The second occurrence, you won't necessarily pick up from the English. In the King James, it's just translated that were bidden. That's a perfect tense. That's a perfect passive participle. And so the idea is he sent forth his servants to call them that were in a state of being called, that were invited. This is kind of being used of just an invitation, that were invited to the wedding festivities or feast, and they would not come. Then we get to kind of more of the idea of what we want to focus on is kind of the word kaleo can be used of a summons, of an effectual call. Now we do have it used in that way, kind of often with a legal sense, when it's not used of believers, but used of an effectual call or more of a summons. And let me illustrate that first. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, and this is Peter and John. And so here's a good place you can see that this wasn't just an invite. This wasn't just an invitation, because this is Peter and John who had been taken by force. And this is before the council. And so Acts chapter 4, and let's see, I want verse 18. So you can see a little bit of what's going on, verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, talking about Peter and John, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And so now in verse 18, this is the council, and it says, and they called them. And so this isn't just an invite. This is a legal summons. This is an effectual call. And so they called them, they summoned them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And so you can see that's used of a summons. And so this is kind of more of the flavor of the grace believer being summoned to salvation. It's not just strictly an invite. This is an effectual call. This is a summons. And so let's just take a look at let's take a look at some verses here with kaleo. It's used in this way. So let's see, we can go, first of all, before we look at some passives dealing with the believer, let's look at some active verbs of God being referred to as the one doing the summoning, the calling. And so let's just go to Galatians 1:15. Galatians 1:15. And, you know, Galatians is full of biographical information about Paul. And And here Paul, he's kind of defending his gospel for present tense salvation in this context. He's defending his authority, where he got this gospel and so forth. And so in verse 15, Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me." And so here, this is kaleo. He called me. He summoned me through his grace. This just wasn't an invite. This was a summons through his grace. It's interesting. I don't want to get bogged down. There's so many things in here, but the word separate is an interesting word from it has the idea from horizo, boundaries, with a apo. That's anyway for our Greek guys. But let's go over to 1 Peter 5:10, just for another place we can see reference to God as the one who does the calling. He's the one who does the summoning. And so in 1 Peter, let's see, 5:10 is what I want. And so here Peter says, "But the God of all grace." Just the one, it says, the one who has called us, just the one having called us unto his eternal glory, not by, but in Christ Jesus. And so the one having called us into his eternal glory, the one having summoned us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will thoroughly adjust you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Just the idea of ground you. And so there we have some uses of kaleo in the active voice, speaking of God, is the one who is doing the calling. Let's look at some of the places where it's used of the believer, and then we're going to have the verb used in the passive voice then, the passive voice. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And our verse is verse 9. I have to decide, do I want to include verse 8 here? It might be helpful. Let's pick up verse 8, because we have this statement in verse 9 that God is faithful, in the idea of dependable, reliable. And so here we see, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end," in verse 8, "that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, not by, but through whom you were called at a point in time, passive, through whom you were summoned." And here we see this summons was unto, or just into, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's kind of fun. that seems like an ineffectual call. That's kind of a nice summons to be summoned to that. Let's look at a few others. Let's go over to Galatians 5:13. We get into some of these, and these deal with present tense salvation. In Galatians 5:13, Galatians is pretty interesting. Paul had to work pretty hard to defend his gospel for present tense salvation. And he demonstrated that the Jews not under law, if the Jews not under the law, then it's a no-brainer as far as Gentiles go. But he says here in 5:13, "For brethren, you have not been called unto liberty." You have You have been called to liberty, to freedom. And so the freedom here, he's talking about freedom from law, because we have something better when it comes to trying to deal with the sin nature. He's called the Holy Spirit. And so he says, you have been called unto liberty. This is part of the summons, includes this. The summons, this call to salvation, includes this liberty. It says, you only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it for an opportunity, the flesh, just because you're not under law. The flesh didn't die. The sin nature didn't die. You died to it. So it's only going to be as you walk by means of the Holy Spirit that you're not going to serve the flesh. So you've been called, though, unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but rather. And so here's something else that the summon includes, is this liberty to do something on the positive side, but rather through love, through agape love. Got to be spiritual. But through agape love, serve one another. And so you've been called to liberty. Let's go to Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15. So in Colossians 3:15, there's a textual variation of whether the King James is going to read God. That's from the majority text. Your critical text, some of your other translations are going to have Christ. So when it says, let the peace, it's not going to change where we land, but it's just going to change the emphasis of where this peace is coming from. Both are true. But it says, let the peace from Christ or from God or of God, however we want to translate this here. Both are true. But the let the peace from Christ rule in your hearts. You know, to rule as an umpire in your hearts. You know, I was thankful yesterday. I mean, we got baseball playoffs going on. And there was a game that started yesterday morning and or at least early in the day, and just flipped through this, you know, in a break last night, and the game was still going. But played the longest playoff game, I don't know in how long, it was in the 18th inning last night. And anyway, it was interesting. And just watching it, I saw a couple bad calls by the umpire, and I saw that the pitcher was kind of motioning to the umpire like he missed the call. And I kind of almost wonder when the pitcher does that, if that's going to affect the umpire. He's going to start making more bad calls from that point forward. I don't know. But anyway, you know, we do have the potential, as we have peace, Christ's peace, potentially as a spirit-filled Christian, that we can let it umpire in our hearts. And then he says, to which also you are called, to which you were called, an aorist passive here, just unto which you were called. You were summoned unto this. This is part of getting with the program. And then you can see, I might as well hit 3:16, because it says, let the word in the Christ, it's articular here, let the word concerning the Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Um, you know, another thing that we can see is, you know, we go back to 1 Peter. One of the themes in 1 Peter is suffering. The suffering. And we can see that we can suffer for good deal. We can suffer for doing what God is the source of. And so let's go back to 1 Peter in chapter 2. And I'll pick up in verse 20. And so in 1 Peter 2:20, it says, "For what glory is it?" How do we want to translate? Because this is our word for grace. What reputation is it? If when you be buffeted for your faults, you're in this, actually sinning, you shall take it patiently. But rather, if when you are doing good and suffer for it, and so the do well, it's just a Greek compound word for good doing. But rather, if when you are good doing and suffer for it, you take it patiently, he says, this is acceptable with God. And the word acceptable is actually grace. This is proof of grace, para alongside God. Now he says in verse 21, for unto this, and the King James just says even here unto, just for unto this ye were called. You were called. You were at a point in time, this aorist passive. You were called. You were summoned. You were summoned for this suffering for good doing. And so we could go on. I mean, this is kind of works down through this context here. Let me just go ahead and go over to chapter 3. And again, we'll see in verse 9. Is not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, knowing that you were called unto this, that you should inherit a blessing. And so anyway, we can see, you know, just from scripture alone, there's a lot of things that are entailed in this summons, this calling. When we come back to the Greek, of course, and we try and teach our guys to, you know, not just, you know, go after the form, you know, kaleo, the verb. You know, we also want to look at the adjective, the noun. We have a noun that's off of this root, klesis, the sis ending. Kind of emphasizes the action of calling or summons. And so it's an action of calling or summons. And we can see a number of things as we go through these occurrences. This noun only occurs 11 times in the New Testament. But let's look at a couple of these. Let's go to Romans 11 in verse 29. And here Paul just, he says that for the gifts and calling of God, says, are without repentance. And the idea of repentance here, it's not our word for repentance, but it's the idea of regret. So the gracious gifts and the calling, the summons, this is our noun. The summons of God are without regret. We crossed this noun last week when we were in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 1:26. And so here Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For you see your calling, brethren, And so for you, see with discernment, blepo here, your calling, your summons, brethren. And so here you see, how about not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. And then in the King James, you have the ellipsis, are called, are summoned. Let's go over, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Second Thessalonians 1:11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, this summons to your salvation, worthy, the idea of in balance, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Let's go ahead and let's go to 2 Timothy 1:9. We were here last week, went to this verse last week, but not coming at it from this side, dealing with calling. And so here we have the verb and the noun, by the way, in 2 Timothy 1:9. And we can pick up a little bit of the context here. As Paul's encouraging Timothy, let's just back up to verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, timidity is the idea behind fear here, but of power and of love and of a saved frame of mind, sound mind, a saved frame of mind. And then he tells Timothy, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. So this is 2 Timothy. This is just prior to Paul's execution. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions for the gospel. And so just a co-sharer of evil for the gospel, according to the power of God. And so now in verse 9, he says, who saved us and called us. And so these are both aorist active participles who have the one having saved us and having called us or summoned us. And then we have the noun who says, with or by a holy calling, by a holy summons, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before, it says, the world began, just before times of eternities. And so it was according to his own purpose and grace, though, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times of eternities. This goes back into eternity past. And so, you know, we start to see God's program, and all believers, we're all going to get with the program sooner or later, but probably the sooner the better for us. I mean, when you think about what God has for us, being what he's summoned us to, what he's chosen us to, and let's go over and let me just go ahead and finish up. We'll go to one more place. I have the noun. I've got more, but I'm going to just use this as a good place to end it. Let's go to Philippians 3:14. 3:14. Because I think this kind of is a good high point to stop. And so Paul, let's go ahead and back up to verse 12, just for a little bit of context. And so Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either have already been matured. You know, Paul was mature. He was relatively mature, but he could mature more. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended by Christ Jesus. And then he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to lay hold of, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forth. It says reaching, it's the idea of stretching forth unto those things which are before. Paul's ever moving forward. He's wanting to be involved with what God has summoned him for. He's, if you want to say, he's aligning his thinking more and more with God's thinking. And as he does that, he's able to mature further and further. And so here he says in verse 14, he says, I press towards, it says the mark. It's more of, it's not the mark, but it's a mark. And so I press towards a mark, a thing scoped out for, scopon. In other words, Paul has a scope and he's put his scope on a mark. And this is what he's stretching out for. This is what he's pressing towards, a mark for the prize. And then the prize, he tells us what the mark is, what the prize is. He says the high calling, that's our noun. The upward summons, if you wanted to translate, the upward summons of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, reflectively minded. And if in anything we be otherwise reflectively minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so, you know, this is where we all want to be, is pressing towards that upward summons from God in Christ Jesus. That's the mark. That's the prize. That's what we've been chosen to. And that's what we've been summoned to. And we have the potential to be maturing towards that in present tense salvation. And a big part of that is going to be aligning our thinking with God's thinking, aligning our reckoning with God's reckoning. And so anyway, coming back to last week, we looked at believers being chosen. Today, we just wanted to consider that as grace believers, we've been called or summoned. And so we can know that we've been called or summoned and that we've been chosen by God in eternity past as we put the Christian life into practice. It all traces back to God's choice, God's plan, and his purpose. And it's all by grace that we get to be a part of God's program in this unique and special way. So next week we'll come back. I think I want to come back, and next week we want to look at the fact that we're set apart. We're set apart, and what that means. Lord willing, that's where it will be next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for these blessings through your word, through being with one another. And we pray that your spirit would continue to guide and direct, and may he encourage us as we move forward, hopefully with those things that you have for us. In Christ's name, amen.